This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is Michael and Peter Spierig.
And you're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
Hi, my name is Madeline Olmec. I'm the director of the Foxy Merkins, and you're listening to Joy 94.9.
Hi, I'm Sarah Lamberg. You might know me as a lesbian cannibal, or sometimes a delusional life-drawing model, or perhaps a neurotic people pleaser. That's right, I'm an actor and director, and this is Sci-Fi and Scream.
This is Matthew A. Brown, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on 94.9.
Hi, this is Erin Gray from Buck Rogers in the 25th Century, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
You might want to know, a stranger blew into town last night, a detective.
What's he doing here?
Not too sure yet.
We'll find out.
The performance itself is like you're kind of half slumbering or not slumbering, but you're like treading through this this murky water, and you're just rolling, and the vomit and stuff like that. Was that real, Chanda? I mean, that looked so good.
It was.
You know, it looked so... It was.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I warned everybody. Look, I think, you know, I was saying to Ivan, it has to happen that way because it's in the eyes when you do stuff like that. You know, when you're actually sick and you are throwing up, it's, you know, you can't fake that stuff. So it had to come from within.
I need all of that stuff in my life, and because I need it, I think I give all of myself over to it in a way that I've never done before. And I really feel like going on from Goldstone to, I mean, we may do another Jace One film in the future as well, which I think will really, I mean, we try to push all the level all of all the elements which make the film up from Mystery Road to Goldstone, I mean, push the envelope and step up. And I think when we go ahead with the next installment, it'll be, I've got a feeling it's not just going to be a normal step, it's going to be a really big step up. And I mean, Aaron too, I think, you know, we're on this journey of learning, and we're not there yet to the point where we've exhausted what we've got to learn or offer. So, but I just feel the momentum starting to get to the point where we can really, if we really put our hearts and minds into it, we can really give this country something which is going to have extraordinary impact in the future.
just do the intro and everything. Got your mics. Rest up tonight, good.
Yeah.
That'll be good, though. It's kind of the last leg of it.
Mm.
A little, kind of, eh?
Well.
Kind of. I've got probably 10 interviews in next week.
No. Oh, fuck. No. All right.
Oh, well, obviously not.
Well, that's the beauty of the beast, yeah?
Yeah, and then when we go to a festival.
Yeah, and there's more there.
It's going to be.
But it's the follow-up after.
Cool. All right, I'll get started. Then
you're not a social.
No, that's cool. I don't mind. I'm just great to have you here. That's great. This is Sonia for Sci-Fi and Squeam here on Joy 94.9. And it's arriving July the 7th. It's going to be playing at quite a few really good selected cinemas around Melbourne and hopefully around the rest of Australia and then the world. It kicked off the Sydney Film Festival, which was back in June the 8th to the 19th that ran, and it's Goldstone. I'm with Ivan Sen and Aaron Peterson. Welcome.
Thank you, Sonia.
Thank you.
It was a long intro, sorry.
No, you're...
How did it go at Sydney? Because that was that the first screening of it?
Yeah, very festival? Very first screening. I mean, there's only a handful of people who usually see my films before the official screening, so it was great to finally get an audience reaction to the film in such a big one.
Yeah, you know, it's a good festival.
A big room there, so yeah, it was a very positive response. Yeah.
Very.
Red carpet was okay?
Yeah. Oh, look at you. It's all the hoopla, part of the job.
Yeah.
But I think the great thing about it is just giving the film the best chance it can have, you know, if you're going to release it to the general public. So there's great support there from Nashim Midley. He's always been a fan of Ivan's. Followed him since the Tumula days and Beneath Clouds and stuff. So, you know, there's some great people on board that see the importance of this film being very Australian with its content and its conversation and the people in it. So, you know. We love that because that's what we make it for.
Yeah, so the questions, I guess. What is the film about for those who don't know too much about it? It's described as a thriller / noir.
Well, it's a thriller western. And it's about this indigenous detective who arrives in a frontier mining town on a missing persons light duties case. But he has to connect with the local young white policemen out there, and they have to kind of bury their differences, and as they solve this case, they start to uncover a web of corruption and murder, and which also involves human trafficking at the same time.
Yeah, there's a lot of interesting got a different type of cross-cultural feel in this one, I think, perhaps more than previous.
Yeah.
Mystery Road, of course, where we first see Jay Swan. Yeah. I'm pointing at Aaron Peterson. No one can see this now. I'm going Jay Swan.
Yeah, doing a follow-up to Mystery Road, it was important to not to repeat ourselves and to go into different territory, not only with the story, but also with him and the place, his internal space as well. In this, he's in a lot darker place in this film. And the film is as much about how all these cultural boundaries kind of dissolve and clash because of the nature of who he is, someone who walks between boundaries and forces them to actually confront each other. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we really, really wanted to open up the world and you know, the whole thing of the mining industry and the corruption involved within that, and also Aboriginal land councils and local government and how that impacts upon the minorities who are on the fringes of the mainstream culture.
Yeah, you get the picture, you get that idea across, I think, really well, but also selectively. Like, I think if you're an outsider, it would be a really interesting introduction to Australian politics and to Australian culture today as it stands.
Yeah, and in many ways it's no different to what it was 200 years ago at the same
exactly.
time, you know.
Spooky. Without the technology, that's the only difference,
yeah,
I guess.
And I hint at that at the beginning of the film, which you can see as a over the opening credit sequence. Yeah.
Yeah, incredible. Very powerful. You've used landscape, which you do a lot in your movies. Landscape again is really important, and it's almost like a journey coming home for Jay Swan, the character Jay Swan. Now, for you, Aaron, what sort of what did you have to evoke for the character?
Oh, look, I think, you know, the two worlds thing is, it exists today. You know, it's a personal journey for all Indigenous people to be able to walk in those worlds and apply yourself with two different sets of protocols and responsibilities and all that stuff. So, I mean, the fine line is very fine. It's not like it's unfamiliar to me. It's not like I have to do a hell of a lot of research and stuff. I mean, the life lived is where all that gravitas and information comes from, you know. And and looking, you know, the challenges as an actor is, you know, you want to keep it interesting. I mean, Ivan challenged himself as a filmmaker with all the elements that, you know, he had to weave together. And as an actor, you know, there's a simple thing. You can either walk through it or you put your heart and soul into it. So I chose to put my heart and soul into it, and a lot of that stuff just comes from, it's more, you know, it's recalling on ancestral stuff. It's to do with a lot of the atrocities that are taking place in this country. So Jay, you know, emerged being affected by life, you know, and in turn that allows the human journey to begin rather than being the bulletproof hero again, you know. Like, I mean, he did a great job in Mystery Road, but this one was more about, okay, life has unfolded in between the 3 years or whatever it was since we did the last one, and we see that from the outset.
Yeah, it's sort of polarizing, and also you get to, well, without spoiling it too much for those who haven't seen it, it is almost a coming home and identity.
Yeah, it
he
is.
He finds out something about himself
by chance. Yeah, you know, he happens to get called up on a job into this particular country, and I think it's the country calling him up, and out of nowhere this other thing emerges.
Yeah,
you know, which is how it happens most of the time.
It's just one day you're walking along the road, and next minute you meet a relative.
That's right.
Or you have a cousin or something. It happens. Life happens when you're not looking, or whatever that cliche is.
When you're not expecting it. Yeah.
That's the one. Yeah, that's the one. And also, yeah, again, landscape comes into it, and that feeling, and
yeah, it's awesome. Really strong. I mean, it's a great character. You know, it's the large character. It's all consuming, and that's what's beautiful about it. You can. It feels like you're you know, acting opposite another. You're getting a performance from the land, without a doubt.
Speaking of land and performing opposite, is it the first time you've worked with the wonderful David Gopalam?
It's actually the third time. Oh, okay. I did Dead Heart with him. It was a very small role. We had a small connection in that. And I did a short film with him called Mimi, which was years ago. He played my grandfather. It was a little bit of a comedic piece by Warwick Thornton. But this is the first time that we're able to engage each other on the same level. And, you know, hats off to Ivan, because he wanted to put three generations of Indigenous actors on screen, Tommy Lewis, myself, Tommy Lewis, and David Gopalam, which is what you never see. You know, and pays respect and homage to the journey that's taken place, because there is a line there of the soldiers or, you know, warriors that are walking through the world and trying to make our stories count and try and make them change the country and change the attitudes of the country. But yeah, Ivan, I mean, that was a, you know, a little bit of a touch, a Midas touch, and total respect to him too for doing it.
Yeah, like they're three Indigenous iconic performers, you know, male actors. So
yeah,
it was a, you know, I really pushed to make sure the three of them were together in the same film, because it was, you know, I think it was a good time for that to happen. The Gopalam's starting to get old now, and, you know, I don't know how many more films he's got left in him, but it's good to do it now while he's actually quite fresh now, and very passionate as well.
Yeah. He looks great in the film.
Yeah.
Looks really good.
Yeah, he was very happy to make the film, and I remember him at the Sydney Film Festival. He shed a few tears, and he said it was the first time he'd ever cried in one of his films. So that was kind of nice to hear that.
Wow, yeah. That's pretty cool. Yeah, so Goldstone could be, like you said, the Midas touch. It could be the gold standard, maybe. I mean, this is a career that, I mean, the first time I came across you was in 2002, obviously, with Beneath Clouds, and blew me away. Just stunning.
Yeah, I mean, you do learn so much each time you make a movie. And I don't think I've ever been so passionate as I am now about film and telling stories, and never been so into it. And I don't think I've needed it so much on a personal level as well. I need to, and not just writing and directing, it's the music and doing camera work, all of it. I need all of that stuff in my life, and because I need it, I think I give all of myself over to it in a way that I've never done before. I really feel like going on from Goldstone to, I mean, we may do another Jay Swan film in the future as well, which I think will really, I mean, we try to push all the level, all of all the elements which make the film up, from Mystery Road to Goldstone, I mean, push the envelope and step up. And I think when we go ahead with the next installment, it'll be, I've got a feeling it's not just going to be a normal step, but it's going to be a really big step up. And I mean, we're just, I'm on a, well, Aaron too, I think, you know, we're on this journey of learning, and we're not there yet to the point where we've exhausted what we've got to learn or offer. So, but I just feel the momentum starting to get to the point where we can really, if we really put our hearts and minds into it, we can really give this country something which is going to, I mean, have extraordinary impact in the future.
Yeah, I think, yeah, I could sense that in the film. You can just get that picture at the end of the film.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot more. There's a lot more to be said, and especially with this character, he's such a conflicted character, and it's to do with us just learning from experience and moving and actually being open to actually wanting to speak to a wider audience at the same time, and pushing all the elements. I mean, him pushing every part of his performance, and also me just not resting and not giving up.
It's the performance itself is like you're kind of half slumbering or not slumbering, but you're like treading through this murky water, and you're just rolling, and the vomit and stuff like that. Was that real, Chanda? I mean, that looked so good.
It was.
Yeah. You know, it looked so... It was.
Yeah, it was. Oh, okay. Yeah, I warned everybody. look, I think, you know, I was saying to Ivan, it has to happen that way, because it's in the eyes when you do stuff like that. You know, when you're actually sick and you are throwing up, it's, you know, you can't fake that stuff. So it had to come from within. I apologize to the crew most of the time, but we got there because it's in the eyes. Once you sit down, you can just see that, oh, that's really happened, you know. So, I mean, for me, you don't want to, you know, you don't want to leap, you don't want to leap over the truth of it. You want to try and walk your way through the truth, and it helps the characters. I mean, I would have felt quite weird if I just did it in an artistic way, but no, it's all about putting your heart and soul into it, you know, and making it as real as possible. And, you know, yeah, he does amber through this one. He's got heavy shoulders and a lot on his mind, and he's got a very heavy heart, you know. And I think the thing that rings true with me is, you know, a parent's loss of a child is, you know, it's that grief. I don't have children, but that grief is, you know, they say that it's the hardest kind of grief, you know, when parents have to bury their kids. So it's, you know, we're touching on that too. And then we had the grieving mother who's looking for the Chinese daughter. So there's that through line was still there for both families, really.
Yeah, it's pretty powerful, and certainly straight to the heart of the matter, looking for that child and
daughter
and those sorts of things.
I remember when we were arriving, when we were at the scene, I found the skeleton of the young girl. You know, it was, I mean, you know, the art department were amazing dressing all that up, but you know, you still that sense of it affecting you was there, very much so. I remember saying to Ivan, you know, I think there's a little moment where, you know, I touched my eye in this scene because it's, you know, he's sad for them. You know, there's a job to do, but it's just sad. You know, a person would be forgotten out here and not cared about, and there's a mother over the other side of the world, you know, wandering with a broken heart, what has happened to her child. So, you know, I think that human element is really true, even if, you know, you're dressing it up in that way. But that was an emotive day for that one, just for what we had to do with the reveal of it, you know. Just it might be a piece of art dressed up, but, geez, the pain can be real sometimes.
Yeah. And it wasn't like you didn't need to focus on it too much with the camera work of what was going to be discovered. You knew what was coming.
Yeah.
The dread, the whole film feels like this heavy dread that needs to be released.
Totally.
Which feels like it does at the end. We get some sort of release. And that comes to your music, how powerful that is incorporated in your work.
Well, like I was saying before, I've never had such a passion about what I'm doing before as I have now. And the music, it was really important for me to spend a lot of time on the music and allow that to get to the point where it was emotional but not dictating to the audience. It wasn't forcing them what to feel. It was offering an ambience more than anything, and allowing an audience to actually kind of find their own emotions within the boundary of that kind of ambience, if you know what I mean. So that's a very fine line with music. You know, it's you can so easily cross the line, and all of a sudden you're force feeding people an emotion which is actually already apparent in the scene.
It's not a Tarantino movie.
Yeah, no. So you don't have to reinforce what's already there, and that was the challenge, was to create something that's just going to inspire emotion and not actually dictate what that emotion should be. And and I spent a couple of months on the music, purely on the music, before going into editing. And so,
is it just yourself that plays?
Yeah,
as well. Okay.
Yeah, and technology these days, you know, it just allows you to do things you just could never do in the past. So, very important part.
A film I saw recently where music was quite very much strongly part of the film, but doesn't over control everything or dictate, was Mustang. And interesting enough, it's Warren Ellis, Australian composer, doing it very simple, using just piano, I think it is, and a couple of wind instruments, and really sparse. But it's the music that stays with you as part of the film as well, like those few notes in your film, just keep repeating to me over and over again. Which is great. I mean, if you want a tagline, maybe it should just be those chords. I mean
music, I think, has been proven to have incredibly strong memory trigger response within the human brain, and to actually, you know, music is cuts through where other you know forms don't, to trigger memory.
Yeah, true. Now, one of the a couple of interesting casting for Goldstone, of course, Pei Pei Sheng as Mrs. Lau. I recognised her as the Jade Fox from Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Yeah, and she's
the real deal.
She is the iconic Chinese actress. You know,
she's cool.
That's several hundred films. You know, and she's been going for a very long time since the Shaw Brothers. She was one of the original Shaw Brothers actresses.
Wow,
And you can tell, you know, she was on location and she just carried herself magnificently, and you can just feel her dance, martial arts training, and the way she moves, and even I think that affects the way she talks as well, just the way she holds herself. And she's just a real trooper.
She didn't do any martial arts though, did she?
Not in this one.
It's one thing missing.
It's waiting for Jay Swan to break a bit of Bruce Lee there.
Nah,
Jay, or is that in the offshoots, you know?
Jay stayed away from it because he knew she was dangerous.
Yeah.
She knew she was the Jade. Jade Fox.
Jay Swan stays away from Jade Fox.
Nah, but she's so incredibly professional. I mean, there were situations on this film where, because I did shoot a lot of Magic Hour stuff just as the sun was going down, and you've got you've got a 10-minute window to shoot something, and there was some stuff we didn't even have time to rehearse, and she just came in and just smashed it, you know, just walks in and then just hammers everyone with this dialogue, and she's just, you know, you can't train for that stuff.
I wouldn't mess with her.
No, she's just so experienced, and you can feel it dripping off her.
Amazing. So great casting there. Real surprise, and I was like, wow, this is good.
It was important to get an authentically real Chinese
ghost in the shell, that's for sure. Which we may have heard about. They're using white actors to play.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Of course, I thought we were not doing that anymore, but apparently people still do that, sadly.
Wow.
I know, wow. Also, you've got, is it Alex Russell, the young dude who you play opposite the white cop?
Yep.
He delivers one of the best lines, I think. I just can't remember it, sorry, but I think it's towards the end. He has almost a monologue that he has.
Yeah.
And it's one of the most amazing things to hear that coming from a white person.
Yeah.
It's almost like he suddenly gets it.
Why
is he saying that and not Jay, for example?
That's his character. You know, that's the position that he's in. He's kind of modelled off a lot of young guys I went to school with in the country town who were farmer boys. You know, they were graziers or farmers, and when they get to a certain age, they become kind of, I guess, conditioned by their surroundings, and that actually all of a sudden just gets to the point where they become who they're going to be for the rest of their life.
Right, you know? Yeah.
And the thing with Alex Russell is he's on that edge where he's actually given an opportunity through the story to actually not be what his surroundings define him as, stepping outside of that.
He's very straight man. Yeah, he's very the straight man. He's going to not take the bribes. Well, you don't know if he is, and maybe he already has.
Well, he's already complicit.
He's taken the cake.
He's letting things,
a few times.
And he's letting things just go. Yeah. You know, the apathy
he's
of it.
Turned away or turned a blind eye.
Yeah. And which seems to happen a lot, especially, I mean, all over the place, really. Mm. But, when something's driving the economy, there's this tendency from the mainstream to turn a blind eye to that for the sake of the economy of the town, and and the government to turn blind eyes for the sake of the GDP. And when Jay comes across, Jay's trying to find this missing person who's actually, and that's the big question of, what is a life worth when it's up against the almighty, all-conquering GDP? And what is a life really worth? I mean, is it worth $1 billion? Or $2 billion, or is it half a, is it $500 million, Those decisions are getting made, believe it or not, I believe.
Yeah, pretty much on a daily basis. I mean, Australia's record with detention centres and so on, I mean, economy of whole towns and communities rely upon those sorts of things. So, yeah, and obviously ongoing, the Indigenous situation seems to be the common factor through a lot of the culture and everything. And Jackie Weaver, wow, she's just horrendous in this. I hated her so much.
Oh, really?
Right. But I love her.
I didn't mind
her
too much.
I think she's awesome.
I mean, she kind of shows, she shows where she's coming from.
Yeah.
She gets a chance to show, this is my side, and
she gets to unravel a bit too.
Yeah, unravel.
Which you don't often see.
Yeah, show why she could potentially be a villain. You know, there's a reason. There's a reason for that, and there's a reason for looking after yourself after you've had a track record of being hurt.
True. Mm. What was it like to work with her to get her on board?
The character of the mayor, I wrote that for her, and so to get her actually out there saying those words I wrote for her, it was a very fulfilling experience to hear her, especially in the first scene, just, speaking this dialogue which I'd written for her. And I couldn't imagine anyone else playing her, really.
It's a bizarre role. I mean, it's a bizarre life. It's a strange life that these people live.
Yeah.
I don't think they think it's weird. They don't seem to think that what they do and live is kind of really weird.
No, of course not.
And that's what I think, I hope an international audience, I'm sure they'll be really fascinated. I think there's a change coming, so I think Goldstone is certainly one of those.
We hope so, yeah. There's that power, money and power, right?
Yep.
But I think it's the thing is not to be, I mean, there's so many serious issues in this film, but in a way it doesn't take itself too seriously as well. I mean, there's always space there to look for the film to look on itself and not to be too serious, all of the time, and I think that's important too, and to actually attract the audience through the use of the genre of the thriller and the western. And
you use the nighttime scenes and the neon and stuff. I mean, I was in an audience where people just burst out laughing when they saw Pinkies.
Oh, really? Wow.
The little...
Like, what's that thing doing out in the middle of nowhere?
Is it an ice cream van or...?
Well, I think that's what you have to do with film these days. You have to keep showing things to the audience that they haven't quite seen before, and so they're constantly trying to understand the world that's in front of them. I think if you don't have that, you know, the films, you just can't... You can't get through people without actually encouraging their imagination to question what they're looking at to some degree.
As we finish off, which we should, I guess, yeah. What happens next for Goldstone?
Well, July 7 is the release date, and so we're working towards that. And just hopefully, you know, people get out and support it. Mm. And we do hope that it does have people connect with it and it does create some kind of dialogue because, you know, that's why we make films. We're obviously not in it for the money or we'd be both, well, I'd be in Hollywood by now, but or working for a mining company, you know.
Or both.
Yeah, and then we'll go overseas with it and try to, you know, flog it off overseas and do the usual circuit.
You were saying off air, Toronto, was it?
Well, that's the next one that's in line. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, excellent. Oh, cool. Look, that's just marvellous. I just love the film, so, and I want to see more.
And there's a third installment, I think, and it's going to be, you know, it's obviously, we'll be looking at doing something quite different and radical with that, and there's a story there, there's a structure there, and which is very strong and very relevant to what's happening in the country at the moment, and yeah, we'll get that happening as soon as we can, I reckon.
Mm. Mm. And any message for Indigenous filmmakers who might be thinking of taking the journey and getting a camera and making films? What would you say to them?
I mean, just realise the sacrifices that were made before and consider this a privileged journey and do something about it, you know. I think these mediums we work in, TV, film, theatre, whatever it might be, even print, I mean, we can be a part of forcing the change and creating conversations and having conversations with people. You know, it's there were a lot of sacrifices made and so, you know, it's kind of we've got to step up. So as filmmakers, yeah, just reach for the stars with it, you know, and make it count. And that's what I love about it, and I think that's what I love about the collaboration with Ivan is there's something real going on. There's something that seems to resonate with people, and that is, you know, under the guise of entertainment, which is how you dress it up a little bit, there's a real conversation going on, whether it's in the dialogue or whether it's just in the behaviour of silences. So there's great things that can be done with this medium.
Mm.
And I'd say, yeah, go for it and, you know, dream big because it's all possible, that's for sure.
Excellent. Thank you, Aaron.
No worries.
Thank you, Ivan. Thank you so much for speaking to us here on Joy 94.9.
Thank you.
It's excellent. So and good luck with the film.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Matt from Astron 6, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
I'm a boy.
You're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
This is Owen Pallett, and you're listening to Joy 94.9.
This is Ashley C. Williams, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
Hey, this is Matt Kennedy. You're listening to Joy 94.9. Enjoy it.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.